Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
I've got a sneaking suspicion. I know why the big guy wants to talk about what he wants to off the top of the show today. But I'm going to start by going this way. Josh, did you do any New Year's resolutions this year?
No, I find them to be corny.
No, oh, thank you.
So Chewy is very much anti-New Year's resolution.
No, that's wrong.
No, that's wrong?
Yeah.
How is that wrong?
I'm not anti. It's just no one follows through on them. They're so stupid.
I'm guessing you are frustrated because, again, Chewy being the creature of habit that he is, I'm guessing you're a little annoyed by the fact that your gym's a little overpacked when you go right now.
No, you're wrong.
It went the other way. Really?
So there must be a lot of resolutions not to work out this year, which I'm perfectly fine with.
Okay.
You know, more machines free. No, not at all, Gabe. That's why they're dumb. I mean, have you ever done them? I mean, what's another resolution? I mean, the gym's the big one, right? Oh, I'm going to start working out.
Yeah, I would say like gym / eating better. You know, just the general losing weight is always, I would say, probably the most popular New Year's resolution.
It's just so, and let me tell you why. Look, I've worked out in a gym my entire life, right?
Mm-hmm. Couldn't tell.
My entire.
You even work out, bro.
That was a good pop. That was a little early in the day for that, though. Stretch a little bit. Because there's always the resolution people, right?
Yep.
Because they're normally, which surprised me yesterday because the gym was very light for a Monday. Normally, they come and then they leave by like February 15th. They've had enough. Then it's the people, right, that join and then don't come at all during the summertime because they say, well, instead of working out the gym, I'm going to work out outside or at home.
Yeah, going to run happens. Outside, all those
Never
sorts of things.
Happens,
sure.
You know? So just own it. I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. Could I use a few resolutions? Probably.
Yeah, but like, what resolution would you go with? Because another one that I always find funny is people are like, oh, I'm going to read more in the new year. And I don't want to down people, because like Josh, you read a bunch, right? Like that's, because you enjoy reading. That's something you enjoy doing.
Uh-huh.
Like reading just to say you're reading, like that's never going to work. That's not, oh, I'm going to read 12 books. I'm going to read one. Well, if you don't enjoy reading, like that's not something that you're going to stick with for very long.
Alex Strolf has started he's going to be a reading guy resolution.
What, a book club guy?
He, of course, picked up a book, a nonfiction book on like the history of the NFL. And the problem with those is people often get bored because they think, oh, I'll just continue to read stuff like this.
Yeah.
And you realize it's a lot more just purely informational than, you know, finding actually things that would pique your interest and be written well by good authors. It's just, well, this seems like the next thing I should do. So he set the goal of, I believe, 10 books for the year.
Yeah, he's going to fall woefully short.
Correct.
Because you don't just, like, I don't know, you tell me, Joshy. Like, I'm assuming that reading is something that you have just done, like, again, because you enjoy, I enjoy golfing. Like, I can't remember, like, when I started. I just, it's something I do because it's something I enjoy. So I'm assuming, like, making
it was a habit I picked up as a kid.
Yes.
And then carried out. I mean, there's definitely been times where I didn't read as much as I used to.
Sure.
Same with the way I golf. There's times I golfed a lot, times I didn't golf a lot, but it still remains a part of my life. It's not something I have to go, well, I'm going to focus on adding this to my life and carving out extra time to do it, because you have to then sacrifice things if you were going to consistently remain there.
What would be a good resolution for me? Like for Gabe, a good resolution for Gabe would be to wear less Roebuck. That would be a good.
Are you gonna?
This
you gonna,
year,
what are you gonna?
I'm gonna wear less Roebuck.
Hey, what are you gonna? You gonna fund my? You gonna fund my wardrobe change then, there, pal?
No, just shock it up a little bit. Now, if they come back as a sponsor again, then I'll say wear more Roebuck. But until that happens, for me, I don't know. tolerate people more? I think it's hard to do when you get older. Become you become less tolerable. You know?
I mean, for you, because you're such, when it comes to people, you're such, you are an interesting creature. Because you don't like people, but you like your people.
I like a good way to put it, Gabe.
Right? Like, if you become in and you're one of Chewy's people, like, you're in. You're set. But you just don't like generally interacting with people, like, at the store, at the gym.
No, that's not true. I don't like interacting people when it's forced to interact because other people want to hang out with these people that I find extremely annoying.
So what is that? So you want to be more tolerable of your friends' friends? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, not my friends. I don't want to hang out, I'm sorry, with pretension. They just have no use for you. They're such douchebags. You know what I mean? And I've had to do that a little bit of late, and I think a good resolution is just say, no, I'm not doing it. Because it makes me incredibly unhappy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But again, so what your... I don't know what your resolution is there, then. You know, like I don't know what that becomes, you know, and again, that's why I think resolutions are tough. And the thing that I have a problem in terms of resolutions is like, oh, it's a new year. It's going to be a fresh start, all these things. But then you just kind of keep pushing it off. Like if you want to make a life change, like I don't want to like poo-poo anybody if you legitimately want to go work out, but it just seems like people have resolutions just to say they have resolutions.
Yes. Yeah,
yes. And some people do like change their life permanently for the good because of a resolution, and for whatever reason that was the thing that set it off. But we all know the people who have like a rolling yearly thing, you hear all about this new thing they're going to get into, and then you never hear about it again by the time like April rolls around.
Yes.
So sometimes it's not the motivator people need. I think there's nothing wrong with setting goals for yourself. I think it's actually great.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no limit to, well, the first of the year is here, I have to set a goal. You can set a goal whenever the hell you want.
That's exactly it.
All right.
Like, if you realized in August, hey, maybe I could drop a couple LBs, like, you'd have to wait till January 1 to try to make the changes and go to the gym.
Maybe I should have a couple less glasses of wine throughout the course of a week. That could be a goal you want to set.
Yeah, but that makes you happy, though. And wine's good for you. Take it from me.
Heart right, healthy.
Here's some of the top resolutions for 2026.
Okay. I've got a good resolution here from Matt and Racine, by the way, we can get to in a little bit. It's for you specifically.
I'll just read a couple of them.
Okay.
Number one, obviously, exercise more.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Two, being happy. Is that a resolution? I don't think you can force yourself to be happy.
No. But
you are what you are.
I mean, I think enjoying things more, but again, I think it's being happy is a bad resolution because there's a lot more of a process that goes into making yourself happy, right? Like it's a series of decisions. Like making a random, like, oh, I'm just going to be happy. That's just not how it works.
Like Gabe, if the Packers lose to the Raiders,
yeah,
how can you be happy on Monday?
Yeah, that's fair.
It's just things that happen in your life. You're like, that drive your emotions, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, being happy, I will say, again, I think wanting to enjoy things more in your life, I think that's admirable, but just a general goal of being happy, I think is a bad resolution because I think that's like a series of decisions that you're probably overlooking in terms of making the general goal of being happy.
Now, eating healthier, we could probably all eat healthier.
Sure.
But eating healthy to the point that makes you miserable where you're not happy.
Yeah, because you still want to be able to enjoy life. Yeah,
that's fine. You can eat like what I do is I eat healthy and then I cheat. So Saturday and Sunday are cheat days.
Yeah.
Have a little how about a little more balance in life?
There you go.
That'd be a good one.
I like that.
Save more money. Like they're all
But again, that's not something like you have to wait till January 1 to do.
Correct.
Like once you open up your banking app and go, huh, wish thing with this thing was a little bit, you know, this number was a little larger. You can start, trying to make some changes.
I've been setting a resolution for years now to win the Powerball. It's yet to come through, though. So,
hey, but don't give up. Don't give up on your dreams, Joshy.
But they're all tied to health. Improve physical health, lose weight, improve mental health.
I was going to say mental health, that extends to a lot, is a lot of the things that people, yes, of course, yeah. I think that's everything. And I mean, I've seen some people set goals of like, I want to go on a couple more vacations. So I'm going to plan this year, I'm going to save a little extra, and I'm going to go on two vacations. Those to me are like the attainable ones. Like the wholesale life changes have to be something you commit to and you're ready to do. And for a long period of time.
But that's the thing. Like, it just gets so under, oh, I'm just going to start working out. Like,
right.
No, you got to have a plan. Like, A, to go to the gym, right? A, you got to join the gym. B, you got to have a plan once you get there. Like, Chewy's been working out his entire life. It's just second nature to him at this point in terms of what to do once he gets to the gym.
But I love doing it. That's the thing.
100%.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's a part of it. But you, in order for this to actually set in, you have to have a plan. And that's where I feel like so many people just fail. Oh, I'm just going to join a gym and show up. That's not how you get in shape.
I think sports drives so much of it for people, though. Wouldn't you agree?
What do you mean?
From Packers to Brewers to Bucks to Badgers to high school, if you're involved, you know?
Yeah, in terms of like how happy you are, or
yeah,
I mean it can. I mean,
I also think
I could tell you this, and it was some of the best advice I ever got, and I probably came up with it. I just forgot about it. But
credit to Chewy.
Self advice.
If you hear this, please and repeat it in the future. Credit Chewy.
Your own. When it comes to parents, and you have a handful of kids, as a parent, you are only happy as your saddest child. And it is so true. Does it make sense?
It does. I've heard that before, so I don't think you came up with it.
Yeah. How long ago?
I've heard something similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I said it years and years ago.
I mean, he's been a parent for a long time. I mean,
you're also talking
but
to
it's hard
childless
for me.
People here who can't really.
I can't it's relate.
I guess I can imagine. Yeah, I understand how that
works. It's hard for me because, you know, when I played, it was miserable, man. I'm telling you, it was miserable. The stress, the screaming, the pressure, all that stuff that now you guys know why athletes or certainly professional football, all they do is be.
Yeah.
They be.
Complain and moan.
So for lunch, and I think I told you this guys before, we used to go into Kent Johnson's, the strength coach's office, and have lunch. And the one caveat is, you can't be, and you can't talk about football. You do when you're out. You know?
Yeah, well, you guys did
so
that.
That's
like,
our minds.
Didn't you have like a Thursday like supper club type thing that you guys used to do that with too?
That was more to make weight for Frank. He was big. He was big on dehydrating the body. Yeah, in certain ways. No, yeah. I mean,
all right,
you know.
Matt Racine says a good on the Carbless Talk at text line. This is more 800-990-3776. Chewy trying to grow a backbone with his wife. That should be Chewy's New Year's resolution.
Totally fair. And Gabe heard an interaction before we came on the air. If I want to check my garden three times during the show, I should be afforded to check my garden without it being brought up to me, because that's what farmers do.
Is checking your garden a euphemism, or are you literally meaning you're
looking? No, I'm literally, I've got tomatoes growing in my garden, and
you're saying during the course of a two-hour show, you check it three or four times?
Yeah.
Well, what could you possibly learn on the third time that you didn't learn on the first?
He just likes looking at his stuff.
Josh, and I'm sure you've heard this, I don't think I came up with this, but I might have, but plants do better when you talk to them. Have you ever heard that?
I have heard that. Play music, like classical music for plants, yes.
So I go over and talk to him. Oh, my pretty little pet.
That's,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you should probably be a little more encouraging than creepy, don't you think?
They like creepy.
Right, I guess to each their
own. But I'm telling you what, the garden-grown tomatoes, you guys ever had a garden?
I have not, no.
Josh?
No, but I've eaten many of garden-grown tomatoes during in my life.
So much better than store-bought.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's going to be true for just about anything. I mean,
there's a whole industry of, like, farm-to-table where it's, like, locally grown food. And, wow, this tomato tastes like none I've ever tasted before.
Josh,
it's like,
with all the flannels you own, you've never had a garden.
I've never lived somewhere where I could have
a garden. You live in McGuanago!
I live in Milwaukee. Yeah,
well, you lived in McGuanago.
Yeah.
What high schooler do you know?
Cultivates his own garden.
So
I was much more concerned with the next place to find some beers than I was trying to grow tomatoes.
All right. Here's a fair question. Have you ever made your own beer?
No.
I know Gabe has.
Yep, we tried once.
Didn't go well?
Just once.
Did not go well. Did not go well.
You're too impatient. You got to let the yeast do its thing.
Well, I think we got two. So the thing was the me and the two other guys that I did it with, we all lived in separate spots. So getting together to like do it all, like it fell apart. Fell apart very quickly.
Gabe, that sounds to me like a quitter. And God hates a quitter.
Sure. Sure.
Well, you love beer, right?
Yeah. But, you know, it's a process, man. Just a lot easier to go out and buy it. It's readily available in the city of Milwaukee.
I would love to make wine, but you know my issues with feet.
There are more than one way
crush
the grapes,
I don't
pal.
Think everybody's doing it with their feet.
How do they do it, then, if they don't have the equipment to make wine?
I mean, I'll let you think about that one. See if you can come up with some answers on your own.
Okay.
Is your impression that every bottle of wine you drink is stomped on by somebody's feet?
No, but that's like mass producing it. That's a little different than like getting a little wooden bucket and growing a bunch of
grapes. He saw the video one time of the woman who fell out of the bucket, and now he thinks that's how all wine is made, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's basically what happened?
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
My dad used to make it, and he would step on the grapes. Which, when you think about it, is disgusting.
And I'm sure some people still do it that way, but there's other ways to mash things.
Nope. Only one way. You got to do it with your feet. Otherwise, you're
I'm
not
pretty
doing
sure you
it
could
at
just
all.
Use like a press.
Your hands.
Yeah.
Can we get the Jason?
Okay. All right. We've beaten Chewy into submission. He's ready to talk about the Packers. Packers-Bears coming up on Saturday. We discuss with Jason Wilde coming up next. But let me tell you about our friends at Events by Design, because you can boost culture with captivating corporate events like appreciation parties, brand activations, and more. The creative team at Events by Design truly enjoys the work that they do, believing every event should not just be successful, but fun. One people are still talking about years later. And again, you've probably been to an event that Events by Design had a hand in. You didn't even realize it. Maybe you went to the night market during the summer on Wisconsin Avenue. Maybe you went to the holiday market outside Fiserv Forum, helping out, supporting those events. Events by Design. So retain that top talent. Invest in your culture today. Just search online. Events by Design. They design. You party.
Ready, down, hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, pal?
Doing great. Doing great. Packers-Bears, part 3 or part 213, depending on how you look at it.
Is there anything from the guys who played defensively? Because, I mean, the offense, I think we can just completely discard from the game on Sunday. Are there any guys?
You say that with such disdain. I love it.
any of the guys who played defensively that you think are going to play maybe a bigger role in that Chicago game coming up on Saturday night because of how they performed in the game against Minnesota?
Yeah, I think. I mean, first the obvious answer is Trayvon Diggs, right? Like, I'm very curious to see how they plan to use him, if they plan to use him. Because remember, they got themselves into this because Carrington Valentine did not tackle very well. So he got benched against Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Kamal Haddon goes in, very physical. In fact, so physical that he suffers a gruesome ankle injury and his season is over. So is Nate Hobbs. So, you know, are they still going to stick with Carrington Valentine? It would seem so. Right? Because mm-hmm. he was one of the guys who did not play at all. I'm still not quite sure why Keyshawn Nixon played five snaps. I don't know if that was his idea or what. Hopefully he'll talk to him today. But Diggs would be one. And I know I got to give credit to Joshy because he was the one who sent this in a text message. You know, Baron Sorrell now has made more plays in one start than
Rashawn
Gary has in the last nine games. Mm-hmm. So, I think he deserves to be rotated in somewhat. So that, I guess those were the two names that kind of jumped out for me. And then, you know, look, I think we've seen Brenton Cox do some good things, right?
Yeah.
He's the one who unfortunately is just a split second late when he comes flat free on the blitz, is on the game tying touchdown at Soldier Field a couple weeks ago. So I would think those three guys who played a meaningful amount of snaps would be three guys that you would expect to see in the game. And of course the two safeties who were the short end of the stick guys who had to actually play in the game because they didn't have enough safeties to let them sit out.
Jason, with the regular season over, the stats are in the book. The player with the biggest gush in training camp since Luke Musgrave. Why mm-hmm. do you think Matthew Golden had such a minimal role in this offense this year?
Well, Taylor Swift has a song called Welcome to New York. This song would be Welcome to Green Bay, right? Because I really don't think that this is an indicator that he stinks or that he is a bust or that Matt LaFleur doesn't know how to use him. Again, Gabe and I both thought in week two when they lose Jaden Reed to that broken collarbone that he would just step in there and seamlessly fill in. Instead, it was a confluence of a variety of factors. And Gabe has heard me. I think I said this to Gabe. I think Gabe might have been the first one I said this to. But Jordan Love was giving Matthew Golden a compliment a couple weeks ago when he said, his route running has improved so much. He's such more of a precise route runner, which of course implies that he wasn't before. And that's important in this offense. So I think injuries, I think the depth chart, I think his need to improve the precision of his route running. Did I say injuries? Because I still think mm-hmm. that's the biggest thing. Because when those happened, the timing of those were right around when he was starting to elevate a little bit. Yeah, that was it. Cincinnati, Gabe, three catches for 86 yards.
Cincinnati,
and you
was
were like,
the
okay,
big one, yep.
Yeah, and here we go, right? And then he hurts his shoulder against Carolina. He hurts his wrist against the Giants. He gets they get Watson back, then they get Reed back. So the timing wasn't great. And again, I would ask you this season, not 2026, not 2027, this season, which wide receivers, I know Gabe's answer, which wide receivers would you take off the field to get him significantly more opportunities. It's not Watson. Now that Reed's back, it's not Reed. I would argue, as we saw on Thanksgiving, I still think when healthy, I think I would rather right now have Wicks on the field than him. And then Gabe's guy, Romeo Doubs, who I don't think should be targeted as frequently as he is, but I do think should be on the field more. So now you're talking about he's basically the fifth wide receiver.
So, Jason, do you think they have to move on from Doubs just to, you know, progress with the development of Golden?
I don't think they have to, but I think they will, yes. I mean, and I don't think it's just because, oh, we need to get more opportunities for Golden. I mean, you know, again, he's been great at times and inconsistent at others.
It's the first time in like the 3 years that that's been held against a young player for the Packers, that he's young and inconsistent, Jason. And that's, again, you've heard me say this before too. They shoehorn opportunities for Jordan Morgan last year doing something that nobody else in the NFL does and rotate time at offensive line because it was important to get him time, but then they just forget about that this year with Matthew Golden. It didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I was meaning inconsistent was Romeo Doubs, and that's why I think they're going to move on from him, and Golden will have more opportunities. But you're right. You love that shoehorn thing, which I'm a little worried about you because I don't know. Like, Chewy and I obviously know what that means because we obviously are old, but you're younger than us, and that's a very old person reference, frankly. I've seen these commercials now for old people that should wear these Skechers slip-ins, which we should get a partnership with them for, especially for Homer, where you don't need a shoehorn. They just pop right on.
Just slip them right in. Shout out to Howie Long.
Indeed. Yeah. And Howie Mandel. I don't know if they're just using Howie or what, but
looks like we're going to have to change Homer's name to Howie and then we're in.
Exactly. He'll have a great gig. Exactly. Well, see, you knew exactly where I was going. God, we're just vibing. But look, I understand the frustration, and not just from fantasy owners, but like I do think that they could have done more to get him involved. I do. I am in no way absolving them of his lack of opportunities, but I do think that there are tangible, meaningful reasons for it. And while it's not the same as all those other past years where guys came in and it was stacked, and it took them a while to get their sea legs, whether it was Devontae, whether it was Jordy. I mean, they're not all as good as that 2011 group, obviously. But what did Randall Cobb have? 25 catches his rookie season?
Mm-hmm.
And he had that gangbuster start in the opener where he caught a touchdown when he ran the wrong route and had the kickoff return for a touchdown. I just think Matthew Golden is way too talented for this to be his career epitaph. I expect him to grow significantly. I saw enough flashes. Now, I will point out that I don't think that I was quite as effusive in my training camp praise, just because I had, and you nailed it, Chu, I had experienced the Luke Musgrave effect, right? We all were guilty of on him. And that taught me, hey, slow your roll, bro, on rookie pass catchers, because there's a lot of factors that factor in.
So now we turn the page. We look forward to the Chicago Bears. I know Jordan Love said he's confident that they can just, you know, oh, hey, practice has been just as, you know, competitive as games. Sometimes it slows down in games because of how competitive practice is. But I feel like even teams, Chewy's talked about when they were really good in the 90s and they got the bye, it would take them a quarter to kind of, you know, shift into gear once they got to the postseason. Is there anything they can really do to fight against that? Or is that, hey, this is the decision we made, we're just going to have to navigate it once we get to the game?
Yeah, I it pains me to say this, as you well know, but Chewy's a very smart man. And the fact of the matter is that what the hell is Jordan Love going to say, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, man. This is probably going to be a real problem for us. Like, I haven't played in 2.5 games. You saw what we put out there against Minnesota. I put my helmet on just in case maybe Matt confused me with Clayton Tune and he would accidentally put me in. Because he was listening to all the plays right in the headset. But it is kind of funny to see him. In fact, even I have to put my own pictures with my Channel 3000 stories. And even the AP photographer took some pictures of him standing on the sideline. He's the only one with a helmet on in the photo because everybody else is not in the game. You know, they're all, you know, hanging out and eating hot dogs and whatever else they were doing on the bench. I don't know, Gabe. I really don't. Like, certainly the hope, and we know hope is not a strategy, is that he will hit the ground running. And maybe he will. But as you know, I came around on my thought process on this largely because of two things. One, the defense they would have gone against. And look, polluted mind said, oh, he could have gotten lit up by Brian Flores' defense. I understand that that's a bad mindset. And what would irritate me more than anything else if I was a Packers fan is that if these guys had just taken care of business in the Baltimore game, they would have had a ton to play for in the Minnesota game. And obviously they were playing without their starting quarterback. That puts you in a tough spot. But look, what we saw from Baltimore, that if you could have just played the run a little bit better, then you have something to play for in Minnesota. And as it turned out, thanks to the Lions, you would have really had something to play for. So I don't get it. I understand where they're coming from. I agree with the approach because of last year's regular season finale. But no, I Chewy is 1,000% right. I would expect them to take a little while to find their footing in the first quarter of that game. And if they don't, and they, you know, march down the field and score a couple of touchdowns on their opening drives and actually convert in the red zone, which they didn't do at all in the first game at Soldier Field, then things are going to be a lot easier for them, and then they can just hold on for dear life when the cardiac Calebs try to come back in the fourth quarter.
Jason, you think they would have been better off going to Philly than Chicago?
No, I don't. Like, one of the things about, you know, and look, I understand Ben Johnson's shtick now. And anybody who, I was just talking about how they believe in playing their guys. No, right? I mean, that was another shot at LaFleur, which is fine. That's how he wants to go about his business. I get it. But the reason I would much rather, even though both of those teams had their struggles this season, the reason I would rather face the Bears is because I still don't think the Bears have outplayed the Packers. They did it for 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, like, I think the Bears are an inexperienced team. They didn't go to the playoffs. The other team won the Super Bowl. And that you tell me that doesn't have value, Chew.
Yeah, no, that does.
Like, and Philly's a tough place to play and, you know, all those things. So, yeah, I think that they are, and it's not going to be easy, and I certainly don't want to get clipped and have Bears fans coming after me. But I do believe the Packers are the better team. That doesn't mean the better team will win on Saturday night. But I like their chances better than I would have liked them in Philly. There's no doubt about it.
Jason, before we let you go, because we are going to dive into this as well, I'm sure you guys will talk about it on Wilde and Tausch coming up. But Adam Schefter was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and he was talking about, amongst other things, obviously with the coaching carousel going on, what the Packers have, and the language he used was, can they figure out a fair value contract to keep him there, him being Matt LaFleur? Mm-hmm. The Packers do have a history of not paying a ton and maybe being a little cheap when it comes to head coaches and certainly assistant coaches. LaFleur seemingly, to me, has the leverage here, because he would be highly sought after, and the open market for him would pay him a lot. Do you think that Ed Policy is going to try to come in with a cheap contract offer, and how do you think that would go over with LaFleur in his camp?
Yeah, this is obviously impossible, right? Because we have no idea. Like, I saw Ed in Minneapolis.
Did he avoid you?
Before he became... No, he did not.
Okay.
Hello.
All right.
You know, it's so
off to a good start.
It's so gosh darn refreshing. Yeah,
it's off to a good start, Jason. You know,
you know, we built a pretty good rapport when he was the number two man. But and for those that don't get that reference, Mark Murphy would avoid me because I questioned whether he was qualified to find the head coach, which, by the way, he found a really good one.
Yep.
So in fairness to him, although I think there were reports at the time that he wanted Pat Fitzgerald. Look, I thought the wording from Adam was fascinating.
Yes.
Because the mentality all along here has been, oh, my God, can Matt LaFleur save his job, right? I mean, are you coaching for your job was a question he was asked at one point this season. And obviously, you know, Ed had his, whatever we're calling that Saturday column, policies.
Perspective.
Penmanship or something like that. Yeah.
Although policies penmanship might stick on. We'll submit the change.
Yeah, I was not consulted, but, you know, Ed and I, we can chat because he doesn't avoid me. But I was fascinated by it. I saw that yesterday, too, and I was like, ooh, I hadn't thought of it from that perspective, if you will.
Well,
the problem is we know nothing about what Ed Policy might do, right? We just don't know what his approach will be.
But I would assume you would have to approach it, Jason, the same way that you would with a player with 1 year left on the contract. Again, it's different because you're trying to extend it, right? So if you come to with a contract extension to LaFleur and he says, no, that's not good enough, I need more money, you would probably then have to fire him, correct? Because LaFleur coaching with 1 year left on his contract isn't good for anybody.
No, and
well, again, obviously there's a lot more negotiating that would go back and forth there, right? I'm not just saying like it's not like a player where you go, hey, take this pay cut. He says no, and then you cut him. I'm saying at the end of the negotiation process, if the Packers don't want to pay what LaFleur is asking, like
you can't wait though. That's the problem, Gabe, because every candidate's going to be gone.
Yeah,
you know, if you wait until May, you can't fire the guy in May. You know,
that's what Jason, again. That's what makes this thing fascinating.
Chewy, you sound like you were going to say something there.
Well, I was, Jason. Like, how does this work with Goody? Do they do LaFleur first and then Goody? Do they do Goody first and LaFleur? Do they do it at the same time?
Yeah.
These are all
great questions.
Is Goody going to come back and say, hey, you gave him this much? Are you kidding me? I got Micah Parsons. I want – it's very, very weird.
Yeah, I got Micah Parsons. Also, take a look at my draft classes while you guys are always – telling me how great I am. Look, I think there are questions about both, but I think one thing we have seen, and every year this happens, that there is value in continuity. Mm-hmm. And let's not, I'm not saying, oh, well, we can't get anybody better, but holy crap, every year you hire guys and, oh, they're great, and, oh, what a great hire. And then you're like, a couple of years later, you're like, well, damn it, that was a terrible hire. What were we thinking? And just because they're the Packers doesn't mean they're going to get the next guy who's going to be great. And so has LaFleur had Holmgren's success, McCarthy's success? No, he has not. But I think this year especially, there are extenuating circumstances. You saw what Ed Policy wrote. Like, I would say, look, this was not what we were hoping for this year. We think there are things we need to do better. We think you probably need to consider some changes on your staff to get some fresh ideas because things get stale after 7 seasons. But we think you're a damn good football coach. We still think you're the guy that's going to get us to another Super Bowl. You haven't done it yet, but we think you and Goody working together is the right combination. And you made some bold moves this year personnel-wise. We think, again, that Denver game changed everything. Mm-hmm. I know we've focused on the other games, but you lose Watson in an ambulance, you lose your star defensive player, and that's when things went, because they were winning that game, and that pass is completed for a touchdown instead of him going to the hospital with a chest injury, and they win that game, and maybe it plays out differently and Micah Parsons never gets hurt. The bottom line is, I'm not here to carry Matt LaFleur's water, but I think it would be a mistake to move on from him. And the problem with all this, as we've said from the beginning, is we don't know what Ed Policy is thinking. And what Adam said gave us at least a little bit of insight into the possibilities here. I also don't think Matt LaFleur wants to go start over somewhere else.
Agreed.
So figure it out.
Appreciate it, Jason.
One last thing.
Yep.
One last thing. Don't change the structure. If you're going to change the structure,
yeah, I agree.
Do it when you choose to move on from both of them, because
yes,
that is not right to do, even if he doesn't like it. And again, that's another thing. We have no idea whether Ed likes it or doesn't.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Jason. We kept you a little long, but I wanted to get that Shefty stuff in there as well since it came out yesterday. Look forward to hearing you guys break it all down coming up at Wilde and Tausch at 9 a.m. here on ESPN Milwaukee.
Wilde and Tausch, the only show with worse clock management. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
I mean, Jason just kind of blew up the clock. I think there might be a through line there of, you know, why we may have some bad clock management. But if you're hungry for bold flavor, Woodman's has the deal you've been waiting for. Starting now, January 5th through the 25th, grab Screamin' Sicilian Pizzas, original, thin and crispy, or tavern style for just $5.99 each. You're going to want to load up more of your favorite pizza loaded with the toppings at unbeatable price. Stock up now. Make every night a pizza night. Screamin' Sicilian, the original, thin and crispy, or tavern style, just $5.99. Going on now at Woodman's through the 25th.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You want more physical harm beset upon people who are trying to earn a living.
I want winners. If someone has to die in order for us to win, then that's the price you pay.
On 94.5 ESPN.
A lot of things to get into on a Tuesday off that Jason Willey conversation we just had. And I do want to play that sound from Adam Schefter on the Pat McAfee show yesterday a little bit later. But just to kind of put a bow on the Matthew Golden conversation, there was a video that came out yesterday, Chew, from Steve Smith, the very talented wide receiver, former Carolina Panther, played with the Baltimore Ravens at the end of his career. And here's what he had to say when it came to watching Matthew Golden and seeing Matthew Golden's tape.
When I watched him in college, he knows how to get open and still knows how to get open at this level.
I think so.
Just doesn't get the ball thrown his way, and that's not his fault.
Total receiving snaps, 207, and only targeted 33 times. When he does get targeted, 72.7%, he's going to come down with the catch.
Pretty good.
Great.
Defensive player of the year, Patrick Surtain. Talk to him after the game in the locker room. Hey, what'd you think of Matthew Golden, man? He said, I'll tell you this, he can win at the top of the route. He can separate at the top of the route.
Yep.
But he said the same thing. He's going to be good, man.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Like, I can see it. He is going to be good.
So, again, I have been somebody who has been frustrated with the usage of Matthew Golden. I hear something like that and it makes me feel like I'm not going crazy. Like, okay, my eyes are not lying to me when someone like Patrick Surtain, someone like Steve Smith, also seeing it when it comes to Matthew Golden. And there, I have seen plenty of people who are ready to give up on Golden, Chew, call him a bust after year one.
Oh, God, no.
I think as long as the Packers find a way to use him next year. Again, Steno already told us he's not going to factor in a ton into the postseason. So I think we're on to year two when it comes to Matthew Golden.
Yeah, that's good to hear. The problem is you put him up against Tet McMillan's numbers.
Emeka Buka.
Drop up. You put them in that. But to me, it sounds like the coaching staff wants to bring him along more slowly than the fans do, which is fine. I mean, they have a plan.
Which is just weird because they've wanted to, like, just throw everybody else into the deep end of the pool. That's the thing that it just the last couple of weeks has just, like, festered in my brain. Like, every other high pick gets thrown in the deep end of the pool, but not Matthew Golden.
I think it stems from, and I think you can agree or disagree with the Packers coaching staff on this, they felt like they had a really deep wide receiver room that had a lot of talent that deserved opportunity. Whereas I think at those other positions, they thought they were a little thinner, so they needed to bring those guys along quicker. The comparison you can make that is like almost dead on is Jordy Nelson's first year. Now, compare Jordy Nelson and the talent that was there versus the talent that's here in front of Matthew Golden, and it's worlds different. Yeah, but
I was about to say, Jordy Nelson came into a wide receiver room while he added to the depth, and they eventually became what they were in 2010, 2011. Uh-huh. Donald Driver and Greg Jennings were still ahead of
Correct. But it seems like, and I think the results of the season and the snap counts and the targets will tell you this, that the Green Bay staff felt a lot more strongly about Romeo Doubs than I think virtually anybody else in the NFL. talent evaluators across the league probably don't view Romeo Doubs with the same, they don't covet him as much as seemingly Matt LaFleur and his staff has. And that seems to be one of the biggest roadblocks.
It's just frustrating at times because I'll bring it back to Rashawn Gary. You know, are they playing him because he's making 20 whatever million dollars a year? Because, like you said early on, Gabe, I want guys in there that play to the whistle, that fly around, even over mistakes. You know what I mean? Because when I played, they said, if you really don't know what you're doing, you know, do it 110%. And that's kind of what those guys are.
Well, especially,
you know, it's just like play your best players on the field. And I wanted to ask Jason, and I will ask him on Thursday or Friday or some. I'm like, God, I don't know. Rashid Walker is fine. Do you really feel comfortable going into next year with Morgan at left tackle, who has a good game, and then he has a game like he had? I don't. You know? Morgan's like a long snapper. You know? He does his job. He's fine. Is he going to snap it over the head every now and then? Yeah.
Yeah, but I just don't think they want to pay the money there, Chew. I just don't think they want to pay the money because...
It's an important position, though, Gabe.
Yeah, and that's why you have a first-round pick that's going to be playing there.
Okay. I just want to play the best players. If they're a sixth round, if they're a fourth round, if they're a free agent, put the best players on the field,
look,
please.
Which is why I asked Jason the way I asked. Again, he started with Diggs, but he was more about, you know, Baron Sorrell and Colin Oliver than anything else, because I thought those guys, as Joshy has pointed out, Baron Sorrell has outproduced Rashawn Gary.
Yeah.
In one game versus nine games. When a trophy is raised, it can feel like the season's over, but on the ESPN app, it never really is, because with more than 47,000 live events, plus originals, highlights, coverage from every corner of the sports world, there's always something to dive into. Like last night, could have been diving to that FCS championship. Sunday night, I was flipping back and forth. I was checking in on that D3 national championship. College athletics, pro sports, they've got you covered. With no off-season, it's just everything a fan needs to keep going. Always in season. Get it all on with ESPN, all in one place. Download that ESPN app on your TV or your phone today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I thought Salvation Army that they hear their name when it's non-scheduled, that's what they want to hear.
I could hear Ashy laughing in the background.
Am I right or wrong?
He's not wrong. Hey, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
He is wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
There were a couple of announcements that happened yesterday, big guy, between the Brewers and the Bucks. First and foremost, for the Brewers, they sent this one out. They released their coaching staff and some of the coaches kind of taking on some new roles. But the one that got a lot of attention yesterday, Daniel Vogelbach is back with the organization. He is a hitting coach for the Milwaukee Brewers. You remember Danny V, the
I
big
do.
Boy?
He's a fan favorite.
Oh, yeah, he was. I think people are going to be excited.
I like them.
I don't know if that's just because, like, one fan favorite in Ricky Weeks is not the bench coach anymore. So then, you know, you're trying to figure out, hey, we got to have a fan favorite on the bench. So, hey, excited. Good for Daniel Vogelbach that he's going to be a part of the Brewers coaching staff. And then the Bucks yesterday announced that Peter Fagan is stepping and transitioning away from his role as team president. Josh Glessing is going to be stepping in from Haslam Sports Group. But I just want to give a shout-out, Chu, to Peter Fagan. I mean, he is somebody that I think came in, embraced the city of Milwaukee, embraced a lot of the changes for the Bucks, had a lot to do with getting the arena done. And he was always somebody that was pretty forward-facing. We've had him on this show, always was ready, willing, and available to jump on WTMJ when Bucks questions were available. He had a great 12-season run, obviously a big part of, you know, being the team president when they win a championship back in 2021. So a pretty incredible run. So, you know, tip of the cap to Peter Fagan, who did a great job, I think, as the president of the Milwaukee Bucks.
He did. He is a big part of the turnaround. And if you go, you know, remember the stress that was involved with what's going to happen to this team? Is it going to Seattle?
Mm-hmm.
then the new ownership group comes in and did a hell of a job.
Yeah, and they picked him to be a guy who was, again, I think kind of a forward-facing, especially in the community, part of the Milwaukee Bucks. So congratulations to him on 12 great years with the Milwaukee Bucks. We're going to get to that Adam Schefter sound as it pertains to the Packers and Matt LaFleur coming up in just 2 minutes.